Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchik, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast. You're going to hear me, Amy Babinchik, talk a lot today because my poor friend James Kernan is a bit under the weather. How are you doing, James?
I've never felt better. I'm fighting that flu that's going around and losing a little bit of my voice, but I'm here, hammered, and ready to go.
And you've got your event coming up, but I'm confident you're going to be in full health by the time that happens.
Exactly. Yeah, we've got a couple more days of rest, and then I'll be on my feet speaking for two straight days. So I am excited about that. I'll be down in Dallas. And, you know, by the time this airs, I would have survived that. But yeah, so I'm going to try to rest my voice for the next couple of days.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Well, we all hope that you are feeling better and that your event kicked off just as planned.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So we've got some things in the news to talk about today, and we're going to shake it up a little bit, and we're going to talk about our MSP question of the week at the end of the show today, because we got a bunch of news we wanted to go through. Did you see that Google acquired Wiz? Wiz is a cybersecurity company, and Google's been kind of behind on the cybersecurity biz. So this, I think, was good news for all you Google fans and people that might be hosting in Google too.
Yeah, that was a big transaction. You know what I think? What 32 billion? So
yeah.
Chump change for Google, but yeah, that was a big deal that just happened.
It always amazes me when these deals are really huge and I've never heard of the company before.
I did the same thing. I had to Google who Wiz was, and obviously they're cybersecurity, but I hadn't heard of them before.
Yeah.
Google puts another company on the map.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is kind of par for the course with Google. They buy a lot of companies to add to their portfolio over the years. So you're right. Here's another one. And I think it's a really good buy for them. Excuse me. All right. You're not giving me your cold over the Zoom here, are you?
Yeah, I hope not.
Yeah. So tariffs. Tariffs in the news every day, all the time. We want to talk about this from the MSP angle. And you were telling me that you've heard from some people that distributors have mailed out an email letting their customers know that, hey, prices are going to be going up.
Right.
I got to say that all of your MSP customers know that prices are going to be going up for technology. We've been hearing that pretty consistent message since the beginning of the year. And so there's a way that you can use that as an MSP and not look bad yourself, you know, offer your customers an opportunity to make their purchases now before the prices go up. I would even show them that letter from the distributor saying, hey, we got this notice that, you know, prices are going to be going up and it could be quite substantial, you know, and pass that bit of intel along to your clients and they will really appreciate it. And good for you. You'll make a few additional sales and probably generate some projects off of that equipment that you're selling.
Exactly. And to me, this was interesting because I did hear from a couple of my clients and they said, hey, I'm getting notices from the distributors, just like you said, that prices are going to go up. And I always look at, you know, how can we market and educate our customers on what's going on and make that a marketing campaign? You know, we need to be the thought leaders in our community anyway, educating and sharing what's going on. Use this information and you're the good guy because you're actually sharing information that they're hearing in the news every day about the tariffs. It goes back and forth and back and forth. But the distributors are raising their prices. So if you've got a big project that's kind of stuck in your pipeline, use this as leverage of like, hey, let's get this done now before prices go up. So I think that's a great idea.
You know, this reminds me, it kind of harkens back to the last great recession in 2008. And, you know, we had some opportunities. There were discounts at that time that were being offered from manufacturers, you know, to try to bolster sales during a down cycle. And when we saw those, I would go to my clients and say, hey, something that you're going to need is on sale right now. We're being offered a discount from our distributor. I'm happy to pass that discount along to you. If you want to make that purchase now, then, you know, and then I know money's tight, but we will get the, you know, let's plan then when we're going to do, when we're actually going to do that project. And this was a lot of server upgrades at that time. And that strategy really worked for us. We were able to keep projects flowing in a very uncertain business time by letting our clients become aware of these discounted opportunities. And this kind of reminds me of that, because if there's one thing we know, well, what we know so far is these tariffs are going back and forth. Yes, it's on, it's off, it's on, it's off. It's 10%, 25%, 60%, back down, up around, all this stuff. It's like we're watching the negotiation in real time, but it's a lot of uncertainty, and uncertainty is bad for business. And so that's a time when your clients have this concern about what's happening and how they might be affected. And so if you can bring them an opportunity to protect themselves from that uncertainty, then you're providing a value to them. Thanks. You know, and I think, yeah, that's a really, really important thing. We need to be sure that we're always providing a business value to our clients, not just doing the tech work.
Right. Yep, exactly. And good marketing is really educating people on what they should be doing. I mean, that's sales 101. So I couldn't agree with you more, Amy.
Yeah. You know, Gartner came out with a study recently on cybersecurity trends for 2025. And I looked at it. There was only one interesting part for me in this. So I just want to mention it real quick. The interesting part for me was that they mentioned almost in passing that businesses are using 45 different tools for cybersecurity. And
right.
how can you use 45 different tools efficiently? It's just not possible. So this reminded me of a trend that I see amongst my my mastermind participants, and you probably see the same with yours. Too many tools, not differentiated enough, not being fully utilized, and really too many tools adding inefficiency to the business. And so it was real interesting for me. Gartner mainly deals with large enterprise. They don't often talk about SMB a lot, but that reminded me of a thing that's definitely going on in the SMB market size amongst our own MSPs that you and I see every day.
Yeah, it's funny that you just said that, because I remember reading that article and it was really boring. You know, they talk about all the things we talk about and hear about the news every day, you know, AI, regulatory changes, cybersecurity, yawn, right? Yawn. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember reading, and I just kind of went over it really quick. And the average company has 45 cybersecurity tools. And what just stuck with me is like, wow, that's way too many. But then I just kind of moved on. And it's funny that you just said that, because I picked up on the same thing. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that was like the one item that really stood out. And we can probably talk about that more in the podcast another day, because it's really getting to be a drain on MSPs to have so many different tools that they're trying to operate.
Yeah, that's a great point. I ran into that all the time.
Yeah. So real quick on an article about Intel, a federal judge dismissed a big case against them, which is really good for Intel. And they got a new mobile chip coming out. Mm-hmm. So to me, these things sort of taken together are telling me that maybe Intel's problems are starting to move behind them, that they're going in the right direction. What do you think? Yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more. And they also just appointed a new CEO, and the old one had kind of stepped away or was driven out, whatever actually really happened. But they've got new leadership, a new direction, new technology. You know, I think they're back on track. So it'll be interesting. And we followed them week over week on the podcast. So I'm glad to report some positive things for Intel.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I think they're an important company for the United States and for the industry. So I'd like to see them coming around.
Exactly.
Well, James, let's get to the MSP question of the week. And the MSP question of the week is kind of a fun one. We've been asked, what are some cool AI tools for your business? So I've got a couple, and I know you have a couple. So obviously we're not going to get to all the cool AI tools because, 500 new ones are invented every day that we don't know about yet. Exactly. So if our listeners have a really cool tool that you think we should know about, let us know. And, maybe we'll talk about it if we like it too. So the first thing I wanted to mention, actually came my way because I was sent a sample of a podcast, and I listened to this podcast sample and it sounded super professional and a little weird at the same time. And so I asked, I was like, where's this podcast at? And they were like, oh, it's not an actual podcast. It's an AI generated podcast. And it was created using Notebook LM, which is a Google tool. And you basically write your script, and these two characters, a male and a female, both with much better radio voices than you and I have, do a perfect back and forth on the text. and poof, it's a podcast. And you could definitely fool people with that. So I thought that was a really cool tool, I wouldn't use it.
Yeah, there's some good ones. You and I have chatted about this offline, Amy, and you're more of the AI guru than I am, because you're so much more technical. But I was going to look at the sales and marketing ones on my side of the coin. There's a couple, we don't really need to go into Microsoft Copilot. That's one that I'm using. I think most people know about that. You know, ChatGPT is another one, content creation. A couple other fun ones, though, that I will bring up. One, and I think we've talked about this on the program, instaheadshots.ai. So it's really an AI-generated headshot tool that in minutes, you can basically take old photos of you or current headshots and then upload them into this tool. They'll clean them up and then put all sorts of other backgrounds and outfits on you. It's a great way to keep your headshots current. So Insta headshots, that's something that's pretty popular in our community. And there's another one that I saw I thought was really awesome. It's called amy.io. And I'm surprised you're not using this, Amy, but it's, I think they had a hypo in their name. It's A-I-M-E-Y dot.
Oh, I was going to say, I have the copyright on that name.
But it's a virtual assistant tool that you assign an email address to it, and then start inviting it into all your meetings. And it basically works in the Microsoft stack. It's a Microsoft tool and available in the Microsoft marketplace right now. That one, I did a demo with someone in a company who's based in Southern California. Really cool tool of what this does. So much more than I've seen before. So anyway, encourage you to check that out, amy.io.
So it's doing more than the just taking meeting notes typical thing. It's actually interacting.
It's interacting. It's saving. It's also saving the notes. A lot of them just will basically take the notes and email them out. This actually will save them in SharePoint and directories where you tell it to. It'll create action items and then escalations and follow-ups. So it's, and I just kind of did a very quick demo on it. So anyway, yeah, check that one out. I like that, the idea behind that, because it's, you know, a great resource behind all of us to keep us on our toes and get our tasks done every day.
Yeah, I'll check that one out. I'm interested. So I'm a big fan of applications that show up on AppSumo.
Okay.
It's AppSumo. And these are sort of often startup applications. And there's a ton of AI on there right now because it's such a hot thing. And what you get from AppSumo is the opportunity to buy things life for lifetime use at a one-time fee early on. And then hopefully that company continues to grow and add features and you're just sort of in it for life. It's a little bit like a little bit of a kickstart for those companies, except the product already exists, unlike the other Kickstarter type things. So you get to start using it right away. And I've really gained quite a few applications in there that that have AI, you know, as a very important piece of what they do. One of those is now called Qso, Q-U-S-O. When I bought it, it was under a different name, but Q-U-S-O is its current name. What it does is, it started off just taking videos and breaking them up into smaller videos so that you could use them for social media. But now they have actors in there. They have AI image generation in there. They've really built a lot of AI tools into that so that you can enhance your videos and get them ready for publication. And so it's really, really turning into a very effective video tool, making great use of AI.
Mm.
So I like that one quite a lot. I also use a couple of tools when I'm generating my newsletter. So the tool I use is called Publicate, but inside of Publicate, it's got a tool in there to help you intelligently design your newsletter. So they're taking the intelligence of AI and looking at the content that you're publishing and helping you figure out the best way to present that content. So I found that to be really helpful. I think a lot of other folks would too. So currently, those are a couple of my favorite AI tools. Of course, I'm still just a giant fan of Perplexity and everything that they're doing to improve the world of search. Yeah. So I like that quite a lot. They're also getting into agents and stuff, so you can customize your own agents. Like, I've been really disappointed with the way that AI writes. So, you know, I do take advantage of AI to help me edit and proofread my content because I've always been terrible at those two things. I've been using Copilot for that. But I thought, I wonder if I could actually train AI to write like me. And so I went over to Perplexity and I built a little agent. And I trained my agent on my writing. So I just pointed at my website and a whole bunch of documents and said, you know, this is me. This is how I write. Give me a description of it, characterize it, you know, write three paragraphs in my voice. It did an amazing job then.
Really? Really?
It did. I was so pleasantly surprised. So I feel like now I can use that. I don't want AI to write for me, but I really want it to be a better editor.
Right.
So now I can take my writing and say, hey, you know, what have I missed? What do I need to improve? What are your suggestions? And it'll actually is going to give me those in a voice that's more true to my own.
Yeah,
so I really, really excited about that. I think that's a cool tool.
So from a time standpoint, I mean, you know, it sounds like you had to train it a little bit, but moving forward, I assume, you know, if it's, I guess, using multiple tools, does it really save you a lot of time? Or do you think it just makes the product, you know, your end work product better, or both?
I think it's going to make my end work product better.
Okay.
That's what I think it's going to do. So time savings, no, because I still want to do my own writing.
Right.
Right. I don't want it to write for me. I want it to help me make my writing better.
Got it. I agree. The work product is the most important part. You know, more and more people are using the tools for efficiency's sake, but, you know, both are ideal. But it seems like there's so many different tools that do little bits and pieces of different things. More and more of us will be, you know, multitasking and using those and training ourselves on those. I'm so excited about this topic. I've started a AI tool list. So all the cool tools that we're talking about that I've seen and demoed, I'm creating a list. And as we continue to build this, I'm happy to share this with our audience. So keep the cool AI tools coming. Amy, from your side, you know, I know you do research on this every week. And our listeners, again, like Amy said, if you see something really cool, you want to share it with us, please email us. I'm happy to add that to the list and share it with everybody. Just send it over to james@kernanconsulting.com.
Yeah, that's going to become a great resource, because as we all know, there's too many AI tools, and finding the ones that are actually useful is getting to be a challenge in itself. So this is, you know, this will end up being a vetted list of things that somebody thinks are useful. So so it gives you certainly gives you a head start, if nothing else.
Exactly.
Well, James, I think we should wrap up for today and let you rest your voice. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this episode of the SMB Community Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.